kid is traveling my car with his father, and suddenly he's shrieking, "Daddy, Daddy!" And he's frightened. And the father, while he's driving the car, he says, "Kid, what happened to you? Everything's fine." He says, "No, no, what's wrong?" "So the world is shaking. Daddy, don't you see? Look." And the father is very concerned about the kid maybe lost his marbles or what's going on. He says, "Kid, relax. Nothing is happening. Everything's fine. Everything's fine." And the kid is just shrieking more frantically and more frantically. And the father turns to his kid, what is wrong with you? Look at everything. So he points out, he says, "No, look, Daddy, look, look." His father points towards the mirror of the car. The mirror was unadjusted, it was shaky. And everything looked like it was dancing around, right? So the kid thought the world is really, really shaky. So the father says to him, "Kid, don't worry, it's only the mirror. Everything is fine, just don't look at the mirror." I was thinking about that story. That sometimes we look at the world around us, and it's such an upheaval, such a unsettled world, that we begin to get frightened. We look at what's happening, and we get a little bit off balance. So the truth is that we are in a dilemma. On one hand, it's impossible and it is inappropriate to ignore the events around us. Famous Rambam that says that anyone that doesn't daven beis tzara is suspected with cruelty, the achzorius. What's going on? Of course, a yid has to feel what's going on. And if the tragedies are happening, and especially horrible tragedies as we have experienced recently, then what do you mean? You can't ignore it. You have to relate to it. On the other hand, we know that if someone loses his balance, then he's dysfunctional. It doesn't work, it doesn't, it just... Two things that always bothered me, remember during the Intifada especially, that how is it possible for you to sit to a Shabbos meal, sing Zmiris? How is it possible to celebrate a Yom Tov? People are getting killed, maimed, Yisoyimim, Almanis, how is it possible? So the two thoughts that came to me. One is that the first Seder that Klal Yisrael had in Mitzrayim, right? First Seder was held in Mitzrayim. Matas B'choyres happened after the first Seder. So imagine Jews are sitting by the Seder table and thinking to themselves, "Avodim ayinu l'parah Mitzrayim." What do you mean, "Avodim ayinu l'parah Mitzrayim"? We're still avodim. But there's a tremendous koach in Klal Yisrael, and that is that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to redeem us, we are ma'aminim, they ma'aminim. And Klal Yisrael was sitting in Mitzrayim while the Egyptians still technically had control over them. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "I'm going to," as Moshe Rabbeinu told them, "I'm going to do it," Klal Yisrael, while they're still in trouble, can sit and say something of that sort. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for redeeming us, because for us it's considered already as if we are there. And Amai Mar HaMuzga once explained what's a pshat. Hallelujah Hashem kol goyim, shabchu kol ha'umim, ki gova oleinu chazdoi. Right, we say, all the nations should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And we go on, and then David HaMelech says, what's the punchline? Hoidu Hashem ki toiv, ki lo ilom chazdoi. Beautiful. Then we continue. Yoim ano Yisrael. What should Yoim ano Yisrael? Ki lo ilom chazdoi. Wait a minute. Hallelujah Hashem kol goyim ends with Hoidu Hashem ki toiv ki lo ilom chazdoi. When it comes to Klal Yisrael Yom HaYisrael, you say only ki lo ilom chazdoi. What happened to the Hoidu Hashem ki toiv ki lo ilom chazdoi? Klal Yisrael at least should say the same thing. Hoidel Hashem kito, im kilelu chazdoi. Ma kara? Half a posuk is missing. Once it's time shot, that this is exactly the point. Goyim can also praise the Lord. You go into any hick town in America, how you doing? Praise the Lord. Things are good, the sun is shining, things are good. What happens? Bishas tzore. You got zetzed in a terrible car accident and your pain and your body is aching. Hoidu l'ashem ki toiv means beniglev, and it's good. What's up, shaki lo'ilom chazdoi? Ki lo'ilom means when it's hidden. Lo'ilom is loshen nelom. Foshim says, oilom is loshen nelom. Yoiman o Yisrael, you want to know something about Klal Yisrael? That the goyim can praise Hashem, it's very nice. But Klal Yisrael is in a higher madrege. Yoiman o Yisrael, Klal Yisrael can say, ki lo'ilom chazdoi, when the hoidu l'ashem ki toiv is missing. There's no English, you don't see any good. It's all bad. It's all bad. Be'enei Odom, it's bad. It looks bad. But the Yid knows, ki lo'olam chazdoi, the chesed is nelom. The guy can also say, Hashem kitov ki lo'olam chazdoi, but it's good, he can say good, nelom, nisht nelom, nisht nelom, else is good. Catch him in a time that he's angry and he's upset. You won't hear such words. A Yid, Yoiman o Yisrael, ki lo'olam chazdoi, Beisaroi, Nira Hashem, they can say ki lo'olam chazdoi without doido Hashem kitov. That's a greater madrege than saying Hashem kitov ki lo'olam chazdoi. You know, unfortunately, I have to fly a lot. And I was thinking once, you know, that some people are frequent flyers. And some people come on the plane for the first time. How can you tell the difference between a frequent flyer and a newcomer, one who is flying for the first time? A number of ways. One of the most amazing ways here is actually in the middle of the flight. You're over the Atlantic, and all of a sudden, there's terrible turbulence, and the plane is shaking, and the pilot says, you know, put on the seatbelts. Now, of course, everybody puts on the seatbelts. And every Erlach Hayid takes out a tilim and says, I can put a tilim, it's turbulence, after all. But the newcomer, the first time fellow, is panicking. He turns white. He throws up, and he's fainting, and he's like, he thinks the world is going apart, right? He never experienced the turbulence before, right? I'm sure everyone on the floor can tell that. The question really is, how does one deal with two extreme requirements? One is to be sensitive to what's going on, not to be numb and to feel the pain of every person, of every Yid, of every human being. And on the other hand, not to lose control. I always quote the Rambam, famous Rambam suggests that the proper way, the proper path that a person should choose is always Shvil Azov, the golden path, Shvil Emtzoi, the middle of the road. So I remember the first time many years ago, as a bochur, I was learning in Bali, the Rambam is promoting mediocrity. Shvil Emtzoi, middle of the road. What do you mean? Ayid wants to steig to the spitz, to the epitome. Shvil Emtzoi, that's the goal. And then when I was ma'ayin the Indian, I really finally understood, I think, what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying like this: any extremism is suspected of insanity. Any extremist has a touch of insanity in him, at least, if not more than a touch. But the Rambam says in one area, a person is required to be an extremist. Every Jew is mechuyev to be an extremist. What is that area? A person has to be extremely balanced. Extremely balanced. That's what the pshat is. Izun, balanced. That's godless. A Adam Godel knows what to react and how to react in every given situation. Sometimes more so. The measurement, the midah stavis means midah is meloshen measurement. That's godless. A person who is a Godel b'Torah is extremely balanced. That's godless. That's what the Rambam is saying. So, just about 2 weeks ago, we had a terrible, terrible tragedy. And for some reason, it seems that it touched us stronger than many other unfortunate events. And it is terrible. But it's not first, it's not now. Anyone knows a little Jewish history, I don't have to tell you, he was an educated olam. Crusades, Inquisitions, pogroms, the murders in Hebron, the Holocaust. But I was thinking, why is it that we are so touched and moved? And I think part of the reason is that there's a big difference when things happen far away, either in physical terms or in terms of historic proportions. And something happens here and now. And I think most of us even know, have shaykhes to some of the people that were involved. I personally know that Anna Mishpocha Skopinski was a Detroit family. I went to Menachem Mogel, to the Valle, sitting there for almost 2 hours, talking, reminiscing, and it touched home. Sholem Shvadron Zatzal used to say the famous story of Sholem with Meirke about this lady on the porch, and she sees the commotion downstairs, and she sees the ambulance is coming, and everybody's gathering, and so she screams out to one of the neighbors, well, what's going on? He said, well, a kid was hurt by a car. And, so the lady comes in and says, don't worry, it's all good, but she's showering everybody with bitochen. A few moments later, she goes downstairs, she got a little curious, so she gets a little closer, finally she gets up to the ambulance, and she sees on a stretcher this little boy. All of a sudden, she realized what's going on. It's her son! She starts shrieking and screaming, Meirke, Meirke! And the neighbors come, he says, lady, come down. He says, I'm good. The Rebbe Shlomo Telfon, it's good, don't worry. And she is shrieking, she doesn't listen bechal. What happened? What's the difference, says Reb Shalom? Because before it was Yedem, so it was someone else. So Zayn Gud, Bitochon, comes to me, it's my kid. It's all gone. It's a different approach. When it hits home, there's a different feeling. And in a way, it should be like this in every tragedy that happens to any Jewish person. I was thinking about Tfilas Tachnun. People say Tachnun. I tried very hard to find a source, a reason why we say Tachnun. It's a strange thing if you think about it. You daven Shachris with Kavoneh, and you finish Shachris, and then you say Rachel Mechan Chatos Elevanecho. What's going on? You finish davening. If it is an important tefillah, it should be incorporated in the davening. What was it? Twice davening? And then when there's a simcha, you don't say tachnun. Well, what's the pshat? It bothered me for a long time. I couldn't find the only thing that is brought down in the Sforim Magdashim is that Moshe Rabbeinu, we find the tefillah sapayim by Moshe Rabbeinu, and the second time the tefillah sapayim. But good, but why after davening? What? So again, I don't have a reliable source, but recently I thought that perhaps that's a pshat, because I was looking in the nusach of Tachnun. The nusach of Tachnun, David HaMelech says, "Rachum v'chanuch atosel fonecho," and in continuation he says later on, he says, "V'nafshi niva lo me'oid." V'nafshi niva lo me'oid v'ato Hashem ad mosoi. David HaMelech says, I was frightened. What is David HaMelech saying? Moses says, as I'll say, that it says later on, b'dimosi arsi amse, that David HaMelech says, I was mekayim mitzvas oino, even During the time that I was in tremendous pain, mentally and physically, I was in pain. What is David HaMelech saying? If you look in Sheni V'Chamishi, in the extra Tachos of Urachum, it says, Nivalo nafsheinu meiroi vitzvoineinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should know that our souls were frightened. We are under trauma. We are going through a traumatic experience. So I thought to myself, perhaps that's the idea. The idea is that a person is supposed to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to daven with kavoneh, and to speak out his heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But ein ha-shechino shoyro ela midrich simcha. Klal Yisrael knows that the Shechina, the Hashgacha Shechina, the happier you are, the more connecting, the more able you are to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think that the Tefillah Stachin was Mesukin already, Chazal, after the Tzores of Klal Yisrael, were already in bad shape. It is an apology. Ribbono Shel Olam, we davened Shmoneh Esrei. We tried very hard. But as David HaMelech says, V'nafshi nivar moed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgive me for not really focusing and davening properly. I tried. But we are in Goles. We can't. Nivar lo nafsheinu meroi vitzvoineinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachmones, Tati. We can't. Our minds are so confused. Please forgive us for davening in such an inappropriate way to you. And perhaps that's the reason why Bishas Simcha you don't say that. Because Bishas Simcha, you have a good reason to be Bishimcha, and then maybe it's a little bit less of a need to apologize. Or the apologies wouldn't help because you should have been happy. But Baal Kolponim, the idea is that we have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands us. If we are confused, we are legitimately confused. There's a lot of confusing things happening. Whether it's machlokes that we don't understand, whether it is events that we don't understand, politics that we don't understand, we're confused. But I need us to know always, Yoimano Yisrael Kiloilom Chazdoi. Even in the worst situations, you have to say Kiloilom Chazdoi. Hashkofe. What's Hashkofe? Everybody speaks about Hashkofe. Hashkofe is Miloshen Mishkafayim, you know? Shkunata Mishkafayim, right? Mishkafayim. What's Mishkafayim? What's Hashkofe? It's how you see events. A person has to learn how to see events from a Torah perspective. I want to share with you just Chaim Kanievsky. I'm sure everyone already heard this. That Chaim Kanievsky said about the recent events. He says, asked Akasha in time of the call, in Sefer on Chumash, he says, how is it possible that Tzor Imenu died from hearing about the Akedah? The Akedah was a tremendous chus for Klal Yisrael, was a tremendous act of Mesiras Nefesh. She died because of the Akedah. She heard about the Akedah and she didn't hear the full story, whatever it is. How is it possible? Says Reb Chaim, it's a mistake. So Amenu didn't die because of the Akedah. He says when Chazal say the Torah is Megin Umatzil, when the Torah protects someone, or Shluchei Mitzvah and Zekin, it's only true when the time of the person didn't yet arrive to pass out, to pass away from this world. But sometimes a person at a certain time is supposed to die that time. And Mimele Soro Imenu was by Yemei Shnei Chai Soro is 127 years. That's exactly what she was supposed to. It's the opposite. The Ribbono Shel Olam was Mezakeh Soro Imenu to die through a mitzvah. So her death will be even a greater schus. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the four Gdoishim were murdered in the shul in Har Nof. Every single one of them, to remind them, would have died anyway from a heart attack, from a car, whatever. The Ribbono Shel Olam has his ways. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved them so much, it was megalgal that the Mitzvah should come on the Kiddush Hashem, so they go straight to Gan Eden. That's the pshat. That's the pshat, a Godel's perspective. I once said over the story, a beautiful story that happened a few years ago in London. There was a Jew, I think it was Namur Ben Zion Duner, I know his father, Baba Duner, a very choshev Yidden. The son was a very wealthy man. And it was Purim that was Erev Shabbos. And this man was sitting a whole day long and giving out checks. He gave, I think, close to 6 million English pounds in charity in one day to different people. And that Motzei Shabbos after Purim, he entered his car, he drove, and he got into a terrible car accident, and he died. And all the city of London, the whole community was broken. It was a tzaddik, a younger man, a balzdokeh. But besides the tragedy, people were bothered ashkafically. What's the pshat? It says it's zokotatzil mimoves. Zokotatzil mimoves. How is it possible that a yid who gave so much zdokeh, it was a yid a tzaddik, but less than 48 hours later, he should be killed in such a horrible car accident? It was a terrible, terrible situation. So there was an individual from London, I think, that after a few days went to Abraham Kanievsky and told the story. He said the whole city is distraught for this horrible thing. So he was waiting to hear chizuk from Abraham. So Abraham reacted in a very peculiar way. He says, "Ah, der junger Mann, this young man, hat schon gedacht, wegen 20 Jahre zurück. He should have died already 20 years ago." That's what he said. Veloy Pirish wasn't mefarish what he said. The younger man heard, he was shocked. And went back to London, he had a chance to meet with the almona, with the widow. So he told her what Reb Chaim said, and suddenly she got white. And I said, "Why, 20 years, what does it mean anything to you?" She says, "Of course. 20 years ago, I believe at the same date and at the same intersection, my husband got into a terrible car crash. And the police came and they rescued him, and they said they have never seen a car smashed so badly, and the rider should be saved, should remain alive." All of a sudden, the whole pshat of Zdoga Tatil Moves gets a different angle. "Of course," said Reb Chaim. How Reb Chaim knew it? You know, Reb Chaim is Tam Ezra HaKadosh. But Reb Chaim said pshat, Zdoga Tatil Moves, not like we think that you give Zdoga the day, so today, tomorrow, the next day, you won't be killed. The Rebbeinu Shem saw that he gave Zdoga before. It was about Zdoga. And he saw that he was destined to give more tzedakah. So he was supposed to die. That was his time in this world. In his whatever, 28, 30 years old, whatever it was. But because he was going to give tzedakah, that's Tatzil Mimoves. He got 20 extra years. A different pshat. Not like we look at things. There is a different look of great people, the way they look at things. It's all a matter of perspective. I always say the story of Nochum.
He just walked out.
Oh, God. I'm not going to say this story. Maybe he better walked out. Now, one of my favorite stories about this guy who went to enter this car one morning in Brooklyn. He entered the highway, the Belt Parkway. Anybody from Brooklyn or the Belt Parkway? Yeah. And the problem was that he entered the highway through the exit. So in New York, there's a helicopter that reports on the traffic patterns. So he turns on his radio, this guy, and he hears the following announcement. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen of the Belt Parkway, watch out! This is a Meshuggah going the wrong way!" So the guy gets so angry, he says, "One Meshuggah? Look how many Meshuggah, they're all going the wrong way!" It's just a matter of how to look at things, right? There's a story about this Balchuver, a very fine guy, but he wanted to entertain people, so he told them how he became Balchuva. He said he went to Washington Heights, I think the first Shabbos in his life. When they took him to Kabbalah Shabbos, in Washington Heights, you know, in Shul, they have all kinds of beautiful Yekish and Minogim, and one of them is they have an area in the back where they have the guests. They have guests, so the guests should feel, you know, they have their own place. Anyway, so he got in and said, it's an amazing thing. He said, "You know where I became from? It's an amazing, as soon as I came to the synagogue, the entire congregation turned around and they bowed down. Boy Carlo, Boy Carlo, Shabbos Mo." "I never had such a reception in my life." He said, "I decided this community is so warm, I decided to become from." Never, the guy didn't know that it had nothing to do with him. But it's a matter of perspective. You know, sometimes we develop interesting things. But I want to share with you a very simple poshet posuk in the Torah, B'shas Matan Torah. It says a posuk. The Torah says, "Moshe nigash elo arofel asher shom lakim." Moshe Rabbeinu entered the fire because Hashem was there. The Torah never reports on weather, right? It's not a weather station, right? But the Torah says it was a rough, it was foggy. Who cares? But there's a tremendous message here. What the Torah tells us, Moshe nigashelo arafel, asher shama lekim. You want to have an encounter with the Bayer Olam in this world, dafkin the fog. It's not an accident that things are happening that are confusing us. It's by design. Bein hashmoshes. You know how many machlokes and how many differences of opinions are when it comes to the twilight zone? So people think, no, the Rebbe Hashem created the world, and then came the Torah, and then we had a problem. What to do? Bein hashmoshes. Good morning. The Rebbe Hashem didn't know that Bein hashmoshes is a problematic time. He created it. He obviously knew. I always tell my students, you know, that on college campuses, you want to get them a little excited, saying, you know, God is cool. C-O-O-L, right? Cool. Kodesh Baruch is cool. How do I know that Kodesh Baruch is cool? He created coolness. Ain't he cool? He's pretty cool, right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Ben HaShmoshes, he knew exactly. It's not a mistake. It's by design. The whole idea that we're getting into all kinds of confusing situations, every generation with its own challenges, is not by mistake. The Rebbe Hashem planted us right here because of a reason. And I want to close with one idea, which is really a follow-up of that. It's a fascinating every time I think about it. Rabbi Kiva was planted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal says, Shosal Tzadikim b'chol doi v'doi. Rabbi Kiva was planted by Klal Yisrael the time of the Chorban Abayis. And you look at Rabbi Kiva, you say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu plant him dafke in that time? There's a fascinating Gemara that everybody knows about in Maseches Makis, the end of Makis, and less popular but no less powerful is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which brings down a number of stories, same pattern, same thing. The story that Rabbi Akiva was walking, accompanied with the rabbis, and they started to cry, and he started to laugh. One story is by the Beis Hamikdash, by the Shualim, so foxes coming out of the Holy of Holies, and one time they walked and they heard Hamoino Shalroimi. There's like three or four stories like a similar fashion. Hey, boichin v'u mesachek. What is this? It's not just one incident. Rabbi Akiva was planted in the Dor HaChorban to show Klal Yisrael how to deal with confusion and difficulties, and in spite of all challenges, to rise above them. Hey, boichin v'u mesachek. He always had a good reason why he was mesachek. We're not going to go into it now. Time doesn't allow for that. But so where does this koyach come from? I think the Shulchan Kodesh says that Rabbi Akiva was Akiva ben Yosef. His father was a convert. Yosef was a convert. Why was he given the shame Yosef? So he says because he came mikoycho shel Yosef atzadik, who got it from Rachel Imenu. What's this koyach? Yosef atzadik, no matter what challenges he had in his life, he was always positive, always looking back. Where did he get it from? He got it from his mother Rachel, that even at the time she was challenged, she gave the simonim, the signs to her sisters, because she was kuloi toiv, Rachel is toiv. And therefore, by the way, this is Moshiach ben Yosef, it says before Moshiach ben David, because that goodness had to come back to the world. Before Moshiach ben David came, it has to be a Moshiach ben Yosef, that attitude of everything is for the good. That's Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva with his mentor, Nochum Ish Gamzu, Rai Gamzu Letoivo. It's all the same idea. To look, to develop a perspective, a Torah perspective, at a time of turbulence. Look, everything is good. Ki lo'olam chasda, else is good. If I don't understand, that means the problem is with me, not with the situation. I don't know how much time we have. I don't want to go over time.
You can carry on the whole day. Huh?
Yeah, no.
I'll work here, but other people work somewhere else.
I know, so... Okay. I'll share with you maybe an amazing story, that a real story, and I'll close with that. I lived in Detroit. was a Jew there with the name of Shalom Goldstein in Gitzal. Shalom Goldstein was the Menahel of Ms. Yaakov, a Chassidish Yid, a very, very special Jew. He married off a daughter, and she gave birth to a young girl. 6 weeks after she gave birth, on a Friday, middle of the day, she had what it's called toxic shock syndrome, and within a short time she died. You can imagine the community, small, everybody was completely shocked, confused. She's a tzaddikas, Shalom's, people didn't know what to do with themselves. And to make a long story short, Levaya was Sunday. So I used to have a young man who used to come to my house for to eat Shabbos. His parents were not from, he's a recent Baal Tshuva. He came to eat in my house. After he would eat in my house, he would have this minig that he went and walked over to Rabbi Goldstein and had a tea and a cup, whatever it is, cake and schmooze with him, and then he went back to sleep at home with his non-form parents. That was the routine. It's now Tuesday, I believe, after the funeral, the whole tragedy. So I bump into this young man in the street. So he says to me, Rabbi, you look a little bit down. Maybe not. So I said, yeah, you know, a tragedy that happened, it hit home, and it's hard to get over it. So he says, what tragedy are you talking about, Rabbi? I mean, you don't know? Goldstein lost his daughter. So he looks at me and says, Rabbi, what are you talking about? It's impossible. Something is wrong. I said, but are you old? What do you mean? I was at the funeral, son. What do you mean? He says, no, it's a mistake. Maybe it's a different God. It's impossible. I said, why? He says, Rabbi, I understand. I was by you Friday night. I ate the meal. And after the meal, I went to the Goldstein's house. And I knocked on the door, and they opened the door with a smile. They set me down. They gave me a cup of tea and a lekach and a cake. I was schmoozing with them. They were smiling like nothing happened. I left the house. If she died Friday, how's it possible? How's it possible? Because the moment Shabbos was over, Rabbi Goldstein broke down and he cried like a baby. They couldn't stop him. But Shabbos Kodesh, the entire family, the Goldstein family, not an iota of expression of sour pain. They could smile at a person, they could act normally. That's what Ayid is. Ayid is in full control of himself and he acts exactly the way the Torah wants done. They stand sometimes to Avelos, they sometimes, but you know, that's godless. That's what we are talking about, being extremely balanced. The Shbor should give us the courage and the wisdom to maintain our balance in those difficult times, and not only maintain, but to grow to an extreme balance. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. Thank you.